The DubDub Review is proud to be sponsored by the Theme Park Brothers. Join Jordan and Cameron Black, along with Michael and Christina, as they share their Walt Disney World and Florida adventures with you. Most recently, check out their full resort walkthroughs for the All-Star Resorts, Art of Animation, Port Orleans, Grand Floridian, Contemporary, and Polynesian Resorts. You can find them on Facebook at The Theme Park Brothers, on Twitter at Theme Park Boys, and on their YouTube channel, which is The Theme Park Brothers. Subscribe now so you'll never miss a show. Welcome to the DubDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Peter Ponikofer. How you doing, Pete?
Wait, what's my last name again?
I said it fast, all right? Give me credit.
and not even close.
Well, you know why? Hang on. I'm laughing as I'm doing the intro, so I'm trying to keep my words out and get the words. That didn't work. Peter Ponikofer, how are you doing, Pete?
Oh, that's me. Oh, good.
Peter, right? You're good. Okay, and we can't screw up this one. Pete, we're joined by our buddy Michael Black. How you doing, Michael?
I'm peachy, guys.
You're peachy. Don't do this to me. Don't even throw it out there. All right. I'm going to hit you up with it because we just came back from an awesome lunch. And, of course, because I'm middle-aged and I got my family, we're jamming in the car to Moana's songs from The Rock with You're Welcome and Tamatoa's song Shiny. So that just proves, you know, I've become full-out dad. Before we even talk about our topic, before we plug anything or talk about our show, give me your three favorite animated movies right now. I'm busting it out.
Who's first?
Guests first.
Oh, thank God.
Three favorite animated movies.
Disney animated movies.
Disney. Well, that goes without saying. You'd have to get way past three to get another animated movie besides Disney.
You know what? You're right, right? Maybe Kung Fu Panda. They'd be close because I enjoy that movie. That makes me laugh every time.
Let's see here. Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Oddly enough. Oh, goodness gracious. There's so many.
What does Eric say? Grimsley, you old beanpole. Is that what he says? In the beginning of the movie, when they're trying to dance in the ship.
Yeah, let's see. Little Mermaid. I actually really like Frozen.
Okay.
As a man, I don't know if I'm allowed to put it in there, but I'm going to.
Okay.
I love the music. And probably Pinocchio.
Ooh. Oh, like a retro... Like a retro bazooka from the past. I love it.
Well, it's got When You Wish Upon a Star. It's got Jiminy Cricket. I mean, the whole... Yeah, that just screams Disney to me. So that's kind of my classic.
I like it. Peter.
I'm probably going to be... 1 to 3 is probably going to be Lion King, Monsters, Inc., and Peter Pan.
Monsters, Inc. really good, too. And Peter Pan is really good. The old codfish. I love it.
Well, that was the first stage show I ever saw in person, too, was Peter Pan.
Okay.
The original stage show.
That is still good.
Sandy Duncan.
My youngest, you know, when the first time she watched, she was completely uninterested. And then every time since, she has been really interested. So, okay. I'm going to give you mine here. And I'm just going to go... I got some bizarre ones here. There's a surprise. I'm going to go with the Aristocats as 3.
Oh, I knew that was going to be on.
Right?
I'm not sure why.
You said
odd ones. I'm like, all right, Aristocats is on this list now.
It is. You know,
that and Rescuers.
Okay.
It was going to be one of the two.
I have the Rescuers, but that's not it. But I'm going to go with the Aristocats. I don't know. Like you said, the music. I like the music. I like Duchess's voice. And, you know, I just think that movie always makes me smile. I'm not sure. Maybe it's the Paris backdrop. So I'm going to go with Aristocats in there. I'm going to go Snow White, number two. And even though it seems like it was completely unoriginal, I know Frozen was good, Michael. I got to tell you, when I watched Moana just recently, that was just ridiculously good. Moana's good. Oh my gosh, was it good? It made me laugh so many times. I can't even remember how many times it made me laugh. It was just the right amount of action, and like, it didn't need a prince. There was no prince in the movie. Like, the character was strong enough. So, not to mention, it has some of the greatest music. Pete, you've seen Moana?
Not yet.
We're going to have a creepy 40-year-old guy Moana viewing at the house soon. Me and you.
All right. Probably be creepy, but well, let's do it.
Hey, Pete, you're welcome. Oh, see, he didn't get that, Michael, right?
Exactly.
You're welcome. You didn't get it, but never mind. You will. I promise. All right. Hang on. Let's get this back on the rails here. We've got Michael, and the reason why we got you on today, buddy, is I want you to update the big guy and myself for everything that's going on in Walt Disney World right now. You're the local authority to us for all the updates. We want to talk about Coronado. We want to talk about Caribbean Beach. We want to talk about Pandora. We want to talk about the Universe of Energy. We want to talk about the blue monorail falling apart at its seams, which I understand just happened just a couple days ago. So let's pick your brain, if you don't mind. Is that cool?
Oh, sounds great.
Awesome. Pete, you are, well, between me and you, you are the Coronado expert, correct?
Sure. I stayed there once.
That makes you an expert. I've never stayed.
I stayed there once 17 years ago. But sure.
Come on, you gotta
are the expert.
We'll go with it.
You gotta build it up. Yes, you're the expert. Michael, hit us up. Coronado. Tell us all that we need to know. We've watched the Theme Park Brothers videos on Coronado, and it actually looks pretty well orchestrated. What is your impressions over there?
Well, yeah, it's, to tell you the truth, they have it pretty well contained. Every time I go there, it seems like there are one or two things that are a little bit different. I just noticed, even since at the moment we're on vacation, so I'm not able to go run over and see some of the changes even as of now. But I have seen in some groups and such that they have finished the bridge going across the water. In the last Theme Park Brothers update, you could see them doing some work over there in the water or near the water. But the situation with Coronado is that they're working on buildings kind of one at a time, doing hard goods refurbishments, and they'll take a whole building and kind of, it's isolated. And then, of course, they're working on this 15-story tower, but that is kind of off to the side as well. So many parts of this resort are fine, and you don't even notice. It's not like what's going on at Caribbean Beach where everything seems to be altered.
Okay, so they're starting at one end. Okay, this is, Pete, this is going to be a little awkward. I apologize in advance. They got the dumpsters out there? They're throwing their stuff away from the rooms, Michael, by any chance? Can I see?
Don't go there.
I'm just asking, is any of that... I'm just saying, is any of that stuff just being tossed out that's completely good stuff? Because, you know, I wouldn't mind having a Coronado Springs-themed house. Just saying. No?
Well, that it's funny that you should say that, because I can't remember if it, I think this was Caribbean Beach, though. When we went by one day, it looked like they had lined up all the old dressers, like some vanities or something. It was all lined up in the parking lot. Hmm. And when I was a cast member, there was a cast member store that you could go to and purchase those things. We have a shelf from the Caribbean Beach way back, and a drawered bench that they used to have in every room. We were able to buy one of those and stuff like that, in nightstands and things. So I imagine that's where that stuff is going.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just out in the parking lot. And I'm like, man, I have a van. But I think that's theft. I'm pretty sure it's theft.
That would be considered theft, unless it was about 2 in the morning with your buddy Chris and your van. Then it's considered just being opportunistic, right? Captain Jack Sparrow would consider it opportunistic. So.
Just good fun.
Right?
The shopping practices of Chris Malik do not reflect those shopping practices of the WWE podcast.
Right.
Or its other members.
Right. Okay, so we're back
at Theme Park Brothers.
Yeah, or Theme Park Brothers, or Theme Park Boys, or anybody involved here. Scott Ferrioli, anybody who's involved at all whatsoever. So, at Coronado, you know, even from the videos I've watched from you, it does look contained. And it looks like, largely, like three-quarters of the resort, you would never even know the construction's going on. Because the construction really isn't... I mean, it's not around the main pool, correct, with the Jaguar slide, or at least it's quiet enough where that wouldn't disturb you there, correct?
Right. They are doing they're working on a building over there kind of by the pool,
mm-hmm.
But there's a walkway in between, and it's really not that loud, and it's behind, you know, the pyramid slide. That's where that is, so you're good in that particular area. Yeah, it's just over... where they had demolished the Cabanas building over on that side. That's where most of the flattening of land and heavy construction is going on. And then you have your isolated refurbishments of the existing buildings where they're just going, they just finished 7A, okay. And now they're moving over to a Cabana building, and they're just kind of working their way through the resort.
Any kind of construction whatsoever at, like, the gift shop, the Cafe Ricks, the Pepper Market, anything going on over there that would spoil any kind of trip?
Since my last visit there wasn't anything going on in those areas. The main bus stop they were working on, and they have relocated it to the front of El Centro, the main building with a lobby.
Okay.
But other than that, nothing is going on around the main food areas and the convention center and all that.
Okay, so if you're going to Coronado, you're good, right? No cause for concern.
I wouldn't think so at all. My in-laws stayed there for a night, and honestly, their only complaint of Coronado was that they didn't feel close to Disney. Like, it just felt too serene, too nice. You know what I mean? That didn't come out right. It was too quiet. And it wasn't, they're used to staying at Pop, or they're used to staying somewhere where it's more Disney-fied.
Okay.
And so that would lead me to believe that the construction's not really having that much of an effect on the guests.
Okay. That's completely reassuring for anybody who listens, is anybody that's going to Coronado. So let's talk about something that does concern you. Let's talk about Caribbean Beach. How best describe that?
Caribbean Beach. It's completely different. Completely on the other side of the spectrum. You've got buildings being torn down that you can see as you enter. Their main food establishments, food courts, restaurants, merchandise locations, they're all shut down. So in its place, you have what they like to call reimagined areas. There's a reimagined buffet for you over, but it's kind of like a makeshift tent that there's a buffet inside of. They really tried to do their best to do what they could. And I understand that you had a chance to look at it, so I might let you describe what you saw when you went in there.
Well, based upon your tip, you know, the pricing that you showed us on one of your posts, it was like, I'm a value shopper. I got a family of five. Let's go take a look. So I appreciate you letting me talk about that. We drove in, and like our first words were like, oh my Lord, what's going on here? There was construction fence everywhere. and like heavy equipment everywhere. When you go into, you know, and I apologize, I should know this better. What is the main building called? What is that called at Caribbean Beach?
Old Port Royal.
Old Port Royal. There we go. So you can't even park next to the main parking lot. You have to park off to the left, probably another 150 yards by one of the buildings, and actually walk backwards to the right to get to like the buffet area. And as you pass along trailers that have some snack options and like a makeshift gift shop, you see this tent. And Michael, you're right. They tried hard. They got some tropical lighting in there, kind of hanging from the sky. And they used the colorful chairs that was at the, the food court. And I don't want to be negative, but let's just say that if the words disarray and I don't want to say chaos, but what's slightly better than chaos? That would be the words to describe the buffet. So, like, salad dressing spilled everywhere, lettuce spilled everywhere. It just didn't look good. I mean, it's hard to believe it was a Disney product. Now, I know it's temporary, but my wife walked in and, yeah, we're there on vacation, but I got five, and we like to be able to go and get a nice meal. We don't mind spending the money, but we're also not against saving money. That wasn't worth the money, whatever they were asking for it. So we just bailed on there and went to Olivia's over at Old Key West. But that example of the buffet, that's commensurate with the construction and the congestion that we felt as we entered that resort. So my question to you is this, guys. I saw later on there was a post. What was it? It was $119 a night. Did you guys see that same post for $119?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So $119 a night for actually a large portion of summertime because of the limited amenities. Give me your viewpoints on where that $119 is a value, because if you're going to stay for the Disney magic, you're not going to get it for that resort. But tell me, how do you make $119 work in that resort? What would be the type of stay that you guys would use? Because I got to be honest, you know what? As much as I want to hit the parks, I don't think it's worth it. I would upgrade somewhere else. Would you guys stay? How would you use that? What would be your thought?
Well, I mean, for me, it's easy. If you're doing a park-heavy stay and you just need somewhere to sleep and shower,
okay,
you're on the same price point as Pop Century. Actually, I think you might even be a little cheaper.
But you have less amenities right now guaranteed than Pop Century. And, you know, I mean, you're not going for food anywhere in your resort. Right? I mean, that's...
Okay.
So
I rarely eat at my resort when I'm staying in a moderate anyway.
Okay. Well, there you go. That would be a way around it, right? Yeah. Michael, what is the furthest from Old Port Royal? What is the building furthest from there?
That would be Trinidad South. It's kind of off to itself and very far, far off, actually. And you have to cross a road to get to the main kind of area there. Okay. But I'll let you continue on there.
No, it's you. I said, okay, no problem.
Oh, okay. I was just going to give you kind of my take on it. Walking around the resort, it's kind of exciting for people like us. It's exciting for people who have seen Caribbean Beach maybe look the same for how many years. And as sad as it may be to see some buildings demolished, something about us Disney nerds, fans, whatever you want to call us, we like to see something different occasionally, you know, at least we do, me and my family. So when we walk up and we do see this kind of merchandise truck out front, it's kind of neat to see. It's like, oh, there's a merchandise truck parked there. Then you have there is a food truck over in Trinidad South, which they wouldn't have had there if the restaurant was intact and the food court was intact. But those folks at Trinidad South would still have to hike their way over. That kind of stuff is kind of neat. And they've also made some grab-and-go locations where they converted rooms in Martinique, which is a section kind of over there by Old Port Royal, one in Aruba and one in Jamaica, in Kokomo. But they have these grab-and-go locations to where people can grab your muffins, sodas, things like that, like prepackaged goods, and then of course the muffins and the danishes and things like that, and all those things, and some coffee. So that does give you some of those options. Now, it does seems like more of a value feel than a moderate when you're looking at that sort of thing, because those kind of amenities you're thinking kind of sound like a value resort. Another cool thing they've done to kind of help with the situation is they've put several Coke Freestyle machines amongst the property, like around the property. And you could use your refillable mugs at those. They're chipped, so you can use your mugs to get refills. And
that's on a minimal fashion, fantastic. You know, those Coke freestyle machines are awesome. Okay, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and think about it. And I've said before that I think necessity is the mother of all invention, or whatever the phrase is. But if you have this sort of thing, I think it could roll out to other resorts. I think it would be great. Think about Riverside and the places that you could put a freestyle machine so that you're able to refill your mug and not have to trounce all the way over, you know, to the food location. Yeah. I think that this would work really well in those larger resorts, even Coronado, to where, you know, they can have this option. But having said this, and this is the longest way around me trying to make my point, I think Pete is right. If you're not going to eat there, I still think that Caribbean Beach has one of the best pools on property. The pool is not touched. Now, the pool bar is just a trailer now. It's not like a pretty pool bar, but you can still get a drink. I think it has a wonderful playground out in the middle in Caribbean Key there. And I think if you stayed in a building like Jamaica, which is right across the bridge, I think you're going to have the best of both worlds. You can still have access to the pool. You have a bus stop right beside you so that you won't really have to see a lot if you don't want to, as far as that goes, and you're good to go. Price point is right for a moderate.
Okay. You guys are pretty convincing there. Pete, could you say come to Jamaica in your best Rastafarian voice?
Nope.
No. Okay. I tried to serve it up there for Mike, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Okay. Here's what I will say too for Caribbean Beach. I know in time it's going to be really special. You know, they're going to make it nice. It's painful to watch the process though right now. So if you had your once in 5 year trip booked and you booked it a year ago, 2 years ago, and you're staying, I know they've contacted you and they've given you a letter saying there's construction. And they've probably given you a sizable discount at this point. But watching that progress, it is painful because, you go down the road, 2 miles to Coronado? And that construction is smooth. You know, even over at the Wilderness Lodge, we just stayed in May. They're redoing quite a few of those rooms. And you'd hardly even tell there was construction going on. Outside of, you couldn't access the pool or Geyser Point from the villas. It's organized. This was like they brought in like an entire construction crew and said, 24/7, everything done by February. Get it done. You know, and they're just blitzing it. So it is painful to watch right now, but it's going to be nice when it's done. I have no doubt about that.
Keep in mind, though, when you were at Wilderness Lodge, you were there towards the end of that construction. A lot of the heavy construction was already finished.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right. They were working on the inside, not so much the outside, like the Geyser Point heavy construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though the quiet pool was under construction still when I was there. So, but yeah, you're right. So I guess progress is painful to watch in, you know, while it's occurring in the heaviest doses, but it'll be nice in the future. So let's segue there, buddy. Okay, let's go from nice in the future to nice now. We haven't been. You've been. Give us the scoop on Pandora, would you?
Well, Pandora, I'll tell you what, we got to see it in the Passholder preview for a few hours, so that's what we're going off of here. I wasn't brave enough to go venture into those five-hour waits to get in or whatever it ended up being. So this is all going off of my daytime pass holder preview.
Okay.
So I've not seen it at night. I'm looking forward to that greatly because it looks fantastic. But my initial thoughts on Pandora is better than I expected. And my expectations were pretty high considering we waited for this for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I think that overall, what is there, I think they've done fantastic. I think the theming is incredible. I don't want to offend any of our Disney friends, of course, but some of the great things that Universal does do over there at Universal, I think that ties in perfectly with Disney Imagineering in Pandora, and they kind of come together. It's kind of like if Universal and Disney had a baby,
okay.
Pandora would be it.
Describe how. That's an interesting statement. Describe what do you mean by that? And there's no offense, well, because Universal is they do some things that are superior to Disney, and even the Disney maniacs would admit that Universal has a fantastic park. So they do some things better in some areas. So describe that. What do you mean?
Well, absolutely. Even Cameron, our four-year-old, when we were going through the queue for the Navi River journey, he said that this reminded him of E.T. And the reason that it reminds him of E.T. is because the queue is so well-themed. You feel like you're in this jungle, or you're in this particular, I don't know, habitat, for lack of a better word. I don't know how. But you're ensconced. You're immersed.
Okay.
And there are times when Universal does that really well. And Jordan had said the same thing. It's kind of like the parts that I love about Universal is what has been integrated into Pandora.
Cool.
I think that's amazing, because Walt Disney even said, you know, without competition, you know, that's what keeps us going. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to do that because that's what the competition is doing. You learn from others. You integrate what you can integrate, and you give it your own touch, and you plus it. And that's exactly what they did.
What did you find the best part? I mean, did you the Navi River ride, the gift shop, the Pandoran sunrise drink that you consumed? What was the best part? Was it the actual atmosphere? Was it the music? Was it just, I know you didn't see the bioluminescence at nighttime. What did you think? What was the part that you came home with and said, that was fabulous?
I think the immersion, and then we did have a chance to see the Flight of Passage queue. Me and the boys went up the standby queue while Christina and her parents had fast passes to actually ride the attraction. So they rode the attraction, and let me tell you, they said it's fantastic. They've said that there's really nothing like it, that it was amazing. But the queue itself, the standby queue, was, it's hard to even explain. It's long, first of all. I mean, I don't know how many people they think are going to be in this queue, but it is forever long. And I imagine they probably filled it. During the first,
they've been getting 5 hours at times.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. But at the end, I mean, to see the Avatar blue person in the tank at the end of that queue was spectacular. It was awe inspiring. Actually, I didn't even think. Let's be honest. I've seen the movie once.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one that I watch every month because I, you know, so for something from the movie to really have that type of impact, they had to have done it right. And I think that's truly the case.
Wow. Pete, have you seen Avatar?
Yeah.
Okay. How many times?
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
What is this place you guys keep talking about? Universal.
You go up the road slightly.
You guys brought it up a couple of times.
You go up the road slightly. They got like a carnival, a few petting zoo animals. It's nice. We'll go someday, me and you.
Oh, okay.
I'll take
All right,
it.
Cool.
It's cool.
All right.
How many times did you see Avatar, Pete?
From beginning to end?
Yeah. That's not good. That's not good already.
Well, no. I've seen it once, like sat through the entire thing all at one time. Then yeah. I've seen it bits and pieces here and there a couple of other times.
Okay. You know what? I agree with you guys. So here we are. We're three guys. We have to be part of the target demographic, because when the movie came out, well, we were all much younger men. We only saw it once. Imagine the task in front of those guys. All right, guys, we've got a movie. There's going to be a franchise. They're going to build three or four of these movies in addition to this one.
So they say.
It was special. We're going to make a whole land out of this movie. Someone had to stand up and said, well, you know, the movie wasn't that good. It's your job to sell this. And you know what? They did it. They made it special enough where it's now a headliner and you want to come to visit and see Pandora. Isn't that just astounding that they could take something like that and make it a headliner? That's amazing. Michael, so let me get this right. You went up the standby line on Flight of Passage, and then when did you bail? Or did you bail?
First of all, in the preview, everybody had a fast pass handed to them for Flight of Passage.
Okay.
So there wasn't anybody going up the standby except for people who just wanted to see the standby.
Okay.
So we walked up it, and really there were a few people we could see in the distance. So we went all the way to the entrance of the attraction, and then what we did was went back down the fast pass
exits. Yeah. Okay. So you know where I'm going with this, right? With that line of questioning? Are you going on this ride?
I actually think I might go on this ride. I know I'm not one to do these thrill rides, but I think from what I'm hearing and the way the attraction is, I think it's just too cool for me to pass up. I think I am going to have to try it once it calms down.
Okay. Well, then here's my next line of questioning, because amongst the three of us, I'm roughly 6 feet tall and about 185 pounds. You guys are substantially taller than I am, and you're heavier than I am. Any concern about that whatsoever? I mean, Pete, what are you, 6'6"?
6'6", 270.
Okay. Michael, you're what, about 6'2"? Is that right?
No, I'm only 6.
Okay. Because you seem taller than me.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not. I'm bigger, that's for sure. But no,
he just lifts in his shoes.
He had a top hat on or something, for heaven's sakes, that day. I don't know. Okay, any concern about that? Because I know that seems to be the buzz, was there were some big guys not going on, but it didn't seem like weight was the issue. It seemed like height was the issue.
Yeah, I think it had to do with whether your knees were good. I think your knees bend in a certain way that maybe if you can't stay in that position for quite, you know, for the duration of the ride,
okay,
that might be an issue. But I did see that they had a really cool contraption outside to where you could actually fit into the ride vehicle and see if everything was good, which I think is a good idea, because you do not want to wait in a 5-hour standby and then get up there and you're not able to ride. So...
Yeah, I know Pete well enough that if Pete waits for 5 hours for a ride, which would never happen, and he gets up there and they say, "Mr. Ponacorvo,"
no, I'm getting on the ride.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is not gonna end well for a lot of people behind Pete and the cast member. So good, I'm glad.
Pete's like, I'm sitting on your lap. We're going through this thing.
Okay.
Oh, I don't get to go unless that thing is locked. Okay, hold it there.
Yeah, someone stand behind me. All right, cool. So we know Pandora has been widely received as a success so far. We know there will probably be additions in the future, hopefully when the additional movies hit, if they are greenlit, which I think that's their intention. They are signing, you know, they're signing people the roles right now. Cliff Curtis, I know, is signed on to play part of one of the roles. They will make additions to, you know, probably additional rides, maybe a show, maybe a sit-down restaurant. So, cool. Let's talk about something that needs a little repair right now. I guess there's two things that need a little repair. And you're in Ohio right now on vacation, right, buddy?
Yes.
When do you go back to Florida?
We are going to be back 1st of July.
Okay.
We're actually taking a trip to Tennessee for a week. But, yeah, we'll be back 1st of July.
You take some fabulous summer vacations. You guys do it the
right. Yeah, really?
Wow. You take these nice 3-week and 4-week vacations once Christina's off of work. I'm jealous of you guys. So you do it the right way.
We do it on the budget. Okay. A lot of air mattresses and staying with family, but it works out and we have a lot of fun. Giving the boys some experiences, that's what we're about.
That's awesome. And you saw what was it? King's Dominion, correct? Or where did you go to first? Are you with the Busch Gardens Williamsburg, right?
Busch Gardens Williamsburg, yes. We love that park. It's one of our favorites, to be honest.
You got some great summer vacations. So let's talk about just quick hitters here. We're not going to go and stay too long. Monorail Blue breaking apart, it seems, and throwing parts on people. What are your quick thoughts? Give me your gut impressions here when it looks like Monorail Blue's in trouble. What do you think about that? Is it a matter of them not spending money or what?
Pete, you want to go on that one first?
You know, I've always said I want the monorails from Disneyland to come to Florida. This okay. seems like the perfect excuse to me. That's all I know.
So, what is it? Is it Monorail Mark 5 in Disneyland? Is that correct?
It's 4 or 5. I think it's 5.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Michael? What's going on here?
I don't know exactly what the situation is. I know that many times we're there, they have shut down a line. There's something going on. And honestly, I don't know if they're doing it for flow of guests. And I'll give you an example here, and I'll get to the actual question. I'm sorry. I tend to go sideways sometimes. But we were there the other day, and it was morning, and they didn't have the direct line to Magic Kingdom, so the express monorail to Magic Kingdom, it was not open. And this was 9 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And other people have said this happens quite often. And I'm trying to figure out, is this honestly an issue with the monorails themselves, or is this a way to keep that many people flowing into Magic Kingdom at once? And if it's a question of the monorails having issues and things are falling off of these monorails, I think they might want to start replacing some of them. It may be time for a new fleet. I don't know when the last time they did update them.
Hmm. So, but it's a good point here. Think about this, though. Is there anything more iconic to the Disney parks, like recognized from non-Disney people, than the image of a monorail actually traveling on a monorail? I mean, how recognizable, if you had a picture of 10 symbols and one was Space Mountain as a silhouette and one was the monorail, I mean, there's others, the castle obviously and whatnot, but would not the monorail be one of the most iconic, readily, you know, identified pictures as a Walt Disney World location? Would you agree? Well,
especially going through the contemporary?
Correct.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you have something that is easily one of the most iconic and easily recognizable pictures of a Walt Disney World location. And it seemingly has, you know, habitual breakdowns. Now, let's put this in context. I work for a place, so I know sometimes the truth and what's out in public can be completely different. So it's easy for me to snipe being 1,200 miles away and not working for the Disney company. But if there's one thing that has to be near perfection, it has to be the thing that people associate with your company and your vacations. Would you not? I mean, they're spending money on brand new buses, brand new bus lanes, right? Yet the monorail seems to frequently break down. I don't even know how many monorails there are, 10, 12 monorails at this point. But would that not be one of the most important things to maintain in, I don't want to use the word tip-top shape, like pristine, sparkling condition with thorough inspections daily? And if you got to go with 7 or 8 monorails as opposed to 10 to 12, making sure those 7 to 8 are, you know, without fault, ready to roll all day long? Would that not be a priority? Because it sure seems like that makes sense to me, you know? Sorry, folks. The thing you recognize most about your vacation, that doesn't work today. We apologize, you know? Stay in line for this ferry. Oh, gosh.
Exactly. And, you know, they talk about all the time these the deluxe resorts, like your Monorail Loop resorts, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, Contemporary, how you have these amazing transportation options. Well, yesterday, someone who's staying at the Contemporary gets to travel by monorail over to the TTC. Then they get to take a luxurious bus to Epcot because, or whatever day it was. I don't remember which day it was.
Yeah.
But because that monorail line isn't working, that takes away some of the amenities to me of that deluxe resort. So then you've got an issue, and I don't even think the bus lines at these deluxe resorts run as much or as frequently as they do for a value resort. Yeah. So you've actually taken it below the amenities of a value at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know with all the money being spent on various things, with the money being spent for Pandora and the money being spent for whatever renovations are needed at all the resorts, it would seem to be that allocation, that budgeted amount for whatever financial year Disney uses, that should be increased to make sure that fleet is always a headliner. Could you imagine the trains at the Magic Kingdom falling apart? What the uproar would be for that? You know,
Waltz
trains. Here you have the monorail. I mean, the word monorail is simultaneously with a Disney vacation. Anyways, off my soapbox. All right, Monorail Blue, we hope you feel much better, and we hope they apply enough Bondo to you to get you back in service. Michael, what do you think about the Universe of Energy? Where does that rank on your Epcot attractions?
Universe of Energy was always a good place to get out of the sun for 45 minutes and possibly take a nap. I don't mean to come off harsh. I love Ellen, and I love the dinosaurs, and I love Bill Nye and Stupid Judy, Stupid Energy, and all of that. But I don't know. I think I'm ready for something new.
Peter, what do you think, buddy?
I'd like to thank Michael for being on as many times as he has.
I was going to say, this might be the last time you ever hear Michael on the show.
Yeah.
So,
especially with as large a fans of Ellen as you and I are.
Okay. So this is what we hear. This is the scoop. And we hear this from Jim Hill at the Disney Dish podcast with Len Testa and Jim Hill. By the way, my quick shout out, if you want to listen to a podcast that is low on frills, but completely stocked with education and entertainment, that is a great one. That's one of my ones that I still listen to. And I have a bunch, but I never miss a show. I always learn a bunch with that. So, would you agree with that, Pete?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great one. This is what I learned. So, behind the Universe of Energy, there's a couple canals. It looks like the canals are being filled in. There's a earth-moving project where it looks like a construction of potentially another building is going to take place behind the Universe of Energy. So it hasn't said it's going to replace Universe of Energy, or it's going to be refurbished or knocked down, but it looks like the construction is going to be behind the Universe of Energy. Now, one would think they're not going to build something behind that and not change the beginning structure. So I guess that's my question. Obviously, the rumors have been around for a while where the Guardians are supposed to take over some portion of Universe of Energy or the land. What do you think about, you know, the intellectual property of the Guardians going in over at Epcot? What do you think about something like that, Pete?
I don't want to sound like I'm constantly hating on Guardians, because I don't hate the Guardians. They're just not my favorite franchise.
Okay.
I'd much rather just see an update of Universe of Energy as opposed to a complete retheming of it.
Okay. Michael, what about you? Intellectual property, Epcot, most likely Guardians themed, either at Universe of Energy or attached or behind. What do you think?
I'm kind of with you. I just don't see how they're going to keep the original structure and put something back behind it, and something that's going to be new and they want guests to see hiding behind a building. I don't think that's likely.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them building a large portion of it ahead of time and then possibly quickly doing something with the front part or taking it out to reveal the new attraction. I could see that being more likely. And I don't want to come off as that I hate Ellen's Energy Adventure to try to backpedal and work my way back in.
Oh, you've already done that, Mike. You've already told us you hated it, so we're good.
I just see it as a sleeper. It just is one of those things that no one really is like, it's not on their list of to-dos very often. If you blew on some of the dinosaurs or whatever, dust would probably fly off of it. It has that sort of feel to me. And so I think that updating it, I kind of go back and forth with this, but I think that Epcot, I don't like to see a whole lot of characters in Epcot. Mm. I did like the integration of Anna and Elsa in Norway. I don't mind Nemo in the seas because I think it makes sense.
By the way, Michael Pete's just blocked you on Facebook right now from the Anna Elsa.
I know. I know. He's not a big fan of the Anna and Elsa at Maelstrom. But I don't know how happy I would be with a whole attraction with an intellectual property such as that.
Okay.
I could see it. There's really no room over it at Hollywood Studios, but I had heard that with the Tower of Terror in California, that the reason they did that was because they wanted to use their own intellectual property and not, you know, the Twilight Zone, which made sense to me. So I'm wondering if they're going to do something like that. And I know that's sacrilege too here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess if it came, I think I would be excited about it just because it's something new. But I, on the other hand, I'm a little apprehensive because I don't know if I would welcome that sort of thing into Epcot. Am I making any sense or am I just talking in circles?
Yes and yes. That's cool. Here's where I stand, and I'm going to tie it up concisely. I like Alan. I do. I think the ride is outdated, but kind of stands for what Epcot should stand for. Education, you know, but still fun. So I do like Ellen. But you know what? Almost as bad as this makes me sound, I like the building better than I like Ellen. I like the thought of those photovoltaic tiles on the ceiling powering the attraction. And I love the retro, like, rainbow color on the side as you pass it on the monorail. It harkens back to, like, in my mind, like, what original Epcot should look like. You know, some kind of futuristic idea that's coming to light. So I don't think I'd be nearly as upset if Ellen disappeared as I would if that building changed, because I love the look of that building. It's one of my favorite photos. When you see those glimmering mirrors along with that water in the front combined with the flowers, it's like, that's really pretty spectacular. So I'd be more upset if that building changed. In my mind, I 100% know that building's changing. You know, I know they're not spending that money on filing these permits to build something without a major reconstruction plan. Again, I'm going to default by saying it's going to be painful on the short term. It's going to be fantastic on the long term. And, you know, even right now, people were against the old Tower of Terror and thought it was an abomination. And I've heard nothing but great things. I mean, have you seen someone negative about the Tower of Terror or, the Guardians Mission Breakout? Have you seen any negativity towards it right now on Facebook or Twitter? It's hard to find.
I haven't, but...
Yeah, it's hard to find, right?
I also have been told that their Tower of Terror out in California was not as good as ours, so...
True. I told you that. Absolutely. It's 100% confirmed. That was not good. But it's hard to find people that knock that ride, you know? That puts through a lot of people every day. So I know this will be special too. So anyways, that's my two cents. Anything that I haven't covered today, boys? Anything you want to hit on? Michael, Peter, got anything? Come on now, give me something.
I'm good.
All right, well, you guys aren't good, and I tell you why. How many guests can ride in each of the vehicles on Ellen's Universe of Energy? Special shout out to Tony Castellanova with his book Disney by the Numbers. How many guests can ride in each vehicle right now? Take a guess. How many people can we pack in those church pews that move? What do you think? Give me a number.
225.
Okay, well, there's 6 untracked vehicles are used. I believe 6. There's 2 rows, and there's 3 rows, 2 cars in each row.
How many? You're just talking about one car, right?
Well, in each vehicle, correct. So there's 6 per time that goes through.
I'm going to say 64 per car.
Okay. Michael, you want to revise yours, or are you good with that number?
No, I'm good with that number. There's a lot of rows. You could fit like 20 people in each row, it seems like, almost.
You're right. I think we're talking about 2 different things, but we have a very similar answer. So 96 guests can ride in each vehicle. A total of 582 guests can ride Ellen's Energy Adventure at once. It's pretty crazy, huh? That can move a lot of bodies. So when you're talking like 5-hour wait times, yeah, that ride, no one's ever waiting 5 hours for it, but it can move a hell of a lot of people in 5 hours, you know? So that's why it'd also be a shame to see it go. You good there?
Yep.
All right. Michael, tell us if people can contact you. Let's bring this monster to an end.
Well, if you still want to contact me, don't hold it against me, you know, my boys, just because of my performance here. You can catch us at YouTube, Theme Park Brothers, and same at Facebook, Theme Park Brothers, and over at Twitter, at Theme Park Boys.
All right. I'm going to interrupt you, too, for a second by saying your videos recently on the All-Star Resorts, they were spectacular. They were probably some of the best videos I've ever seen you do. I don't know if it's just because you're more comfortable with the All-Stars, but I had no desire to go see those All-Star Resorts. We completely want to go and visit the All-Star Resorts now. You did You did an awesome job. So I'm going to give you a plug there. Pete, you want to... Yeah. You want to let people know how to contact us, big guy?
Excuse me. The allergies around here have been horrible, and they're catching up to me finally. My medicine's wearing off, so...
All right.
You can get us on Facebook, the WWV Podcast. You can get Chris over on Twitter at Disney Chicago. I am at Magic Mouse Medic. You can search either one of us on Facebook as well. We have the WWV on Instagram. Am I missing anything?
You did awesome. You can find us anywhere podcasts are played. You can find Michael on YouTube. So come seek us out. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Give us a comment. Give us a handshake. Send us a turkey dinner. Anything you want to do, we are appreciative of. I guess for that, for my buddy Mike, for my buddy Pete, who's operating, it seems, on one nostril left. Correct, buddy?
If I'm lucky.
You're plugged up. All right. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
See you, man.
Have a great one, guys.
I'm actually going to throw you guys for a loop just to start off with something that you can't be prepared for, just because I want to put you on the spot. So, you guys ready?
Yep.
All right.
So, it's going to be pretty much the same as always.
You know me.
You know how much I prepare for everything in my life.
That's why this show's good.
It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't say good. I should say interesting, right? It's not good. It's just interesting. It's a car wreck.
Entertaining.
All right.